For nearly 40 years, Harold Bloom has been one of the most important, controversial, and some say arrogant, literary critics in America. Bloom has just added to his outsized reputation with the publication of his latest book, The Western Canon, in which he offers a comprehensive reading guide to the masterworks of Western literature. Critic Maureen Corrigan has some thoughts on whether Bloom's book is as essential as its subjects.
There's a real doomsday feeling to Harold Bloom's massive book, The Western Canon. It's as though the aged Bloom has become King Lear. Bloom as Lear surveys a literary wasteland where multiculturalist academic parasites now feed on the bones of dead white male authors. He sees a future when what were once called departments of English will be renamed departments of cultural studies. Bloom howls. Batman comics, Mormon theme parks, television, movies, and rock will replace Chaucer, Shakespeare, Milton, Wordsworth, and Wallace Stevens. You may scoff at the egotism of this notoriously egotistical critic who imagines that when he goes, literary studies as we know it will go with him. But there's some truth to Bloom's vision. With artful dodging, students today can graduate college without reading The Canterbury Tales or Bleak House. Bloom believes they need to, but not for the moral uplift that conservative defenders of the canon say it provides. Bloom cherishes the canon for old-fashioned aesthetic reasons. He says that works become canonical because of their strangeness, their originality. Bloom powerfully reintroduces us to the otherness, the absolute weirdness of works like the Divine Comedy that over the centuries have become encrusted with a dulling reverence. It's the brilliance of Bloom's close readings that makes somebody like me, who's taught courses in detective fiction and women's studies, want to put up with all of his run-for-cover rantings about the barbarians at the gates. Bloom divides his book into 26 sections, where he discusses the work of those authors he thinks are central to the Western canon. The usual suspects line up: Shakespeare, Cervantes, Joyce, Wolfe, along with some surprises, like the Portuguese poet Fernando Pessoa. This brief list of mega immortals inevitably promises too much and too little. On the one hand, there are, Bloom concedes, a few dozen other extraordinary writers who don't make the cut. For example, Dostoevsky, Yeats, and Flaubert. On the other hand, even the amazing Bloom, who, it's been claimed, has memorized all of Paradise Lost, and who some people believe has read more books than any other human on the planet, even he doesn't do full justice to everyone on his own list. On Dickinson and Freud, he's sublime. On George Eliot and Tolstoy, eh. At the white-hot center of the canon, Bloom places Shakespeare, the greatest writer of prose and poetry in the West. Resurrecting his trademark contribution to literary criticism, Bloom demonstrates how almost all the other writers here have to manage their anxiety about Shakespeare's influence. This even includes that top diagnostician of other people's anxieties, Sigmund Freud. For all its wisdom, what bothers me about the Western canon is how Bloom flatly dismisses all critical approaches to literature other than a purely aesthetic one. Marxism, deconstruction, feminism, you name it, Bloom thinks it's all reductive. As he says, a political reading of Shakespeare is bound to be less interesting than a Shakespearean reading of politics. Maybe, but we've learned things from political readings too. Bloom argues there's not world enough and time for all kinds of interpretations or books, but he doth protest too much. Even he reads science fiction. Come to think of it, that should surprise no one. Standing amidst the detritus of our age, knee-deep in Fabio videos and reruns of The Love Boat, this astonishing and exasperating man is nothing if not a stranger in a strange land.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Western Canon by Harold Bloom.